Blackstone Audio presents Crowns of Rust, Kingdoms of Sand, Book 2, by Daniel Aronson. This book is read by Kevin Kennerly. Ophir. On a warm spring morning, the birds singing and the flowers blooming, Ophir stepped into the gardens to pull her father's corpse off the cross. Jerael Sella, Lord of the Coast, hung there outside his villa, overlooking the hills and distant sea. The legionaries had dislocated his arms, twisting them like wet rags before nailing the palms into the wood. 3 days in the sun had done the rest. Blood dripped down the ravaged body, and the crows were still working at the flesh, tugging off strips, burrowing down to bones. The eyes were already gone. For 3 days and nights, Ophir had heard it. For 3 days and nights, she had remained in the villa, lying in Jerael's own bed, letting Seneca, the man who had crucified him, fuck her over and over, as Jerael moaned outside, as Seneca moaned above her, as the crows cawed, as the legionaries jeered. For 3 days, Ophir had felt crucified herself, pinned to that bed, pinned under Prince Seneca, her half-brother, pinned under all her guilt, her misery, her drunken stupor. And on this fourth dawn, his moans had died, and Ophir had emerged from a state like death, come here into the garden to bury the only father she had ever known. She stared at the corpse. It reminded Ophir of the dog she had seen roaming these hills. By hello, it hadn't even been a month ago. It felt like a lifetime. The cur, too, had withered, rotted, dying for days before Seneca had put an arrow in its head. That had been the day this had all started, the day the Ilarians had come into their lives, the day the Sella family had shattered like their nation, like this body on the cross. Ophir's eyes dampened. She padded closer, hesitantly, the dewy grass squelching under her bare feet. Suddenly a great fear filled her that Jerael was still alive, that when she approached, he would moan, turn those empty eye sockets toward her, speak in a raspy voice, accusing her.
Your fault. Your fault. Traitor. Traitor.
Yet he simply hung there, and the only movement came from a crow that still stood on his shoulder, pecking at skin. Shoo! Ophir blurted out, and tears fled her eyes. Shoo! She lifted a stone and tossed it, missing the bird, but it was enough to send it fleeing. As the crow flew, it glared down at her, cawing. Caw! Caw was the sound, but Ophir heard other words. Traitor! Traitor! She trembled as she stood before the dead man on the cross, then fell to her knees.
Father, she whispered. Father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Of course, Jerael was not her true father, not her father in blood. It had been Marcus Octavius, emperor of Aelar, who had raped her mother in the war, who had planted Ophir into her belly. For all her 18 years, it seemed, Ophir had railed against Jerael, against this man who had raised her, had loved her, had seen her as a true daughter.
I betrayed you,
she whispered, her tears salty on her lips. I joined the invaders of Aelar. I watched them kill, destroy, and only now can I call you father. It was slow work, pulling Jerael from the cross. A few men of the Magisterian Guard, who had been standing around the garden, approached to aid Ophir. Perhaps some pity did fill their hearts, hidden deep within layers of iron armor and the iron will drilled into the soldiers of Aelar. Yet the grave, Ophir dug on her own. This was work she would allow no Aelarian to perform. Jerael had raised her, had called her daughter, and she owed him this. A last honor, a last plea for redemption.
I'm not a Sella by blood, she whispered, digging the grave. But I am by name. A name you let me bear. No foreign invaders will profane your final rest. It's your daughter who lays you down.
Ophir did not know how long it took to dig. Perhaps just an hour, perhaps most of the day. She worked in silence, sweat dampening her cotton dress. She buried him under the pomegranate tree that he had loved, in view of the coast below that he had ruled. She rolled a boulder toward the grave, a makeshift tombstone, and she carved his name upon it, and gently uprooted and replanted cyclamens upon his grave. Beside the grave of Jerael Sella rose a smaller tomb.